I'm Ashley. As Ashley said, I am studying to be a pastor. I have a couple more classes, so that's why I have to stand up here and do these things. It's a requirement. But anyways, I love to do it. I have four kids, which is a lot, a husband, which is more than children, as some of you women know. But so yeah, Cody and Ashley asked me to preach. Is this making over? Move it a little. Okay. Asked me to preach, and at the time I had no idea. Of course I said no at first, and then I reluctantly said yes. And I had no idea what I was going to preach on, but today is going to be very transparent into my life and what has been going on in my life for the past recently 3 months, and and tie into a couple years since we've moved here to help plant this church. I'm going to give you a little background. We're going to be reading out of Philippians 3, 8 through 14, and it'll be up there, but I just want to explain to you a little bit about what's going on in this passage. Paul, who is the writer, is writing to the church of the Philippines, and he is actually in jail right now as he's writing. And so he is basically writing and guiding this church because it's his heart, and he actually helped plant this church, so he has a lot of compassion. So it's like, in my eyes, it's like a compassion love letter to them on how to follow Christ and be Christ Christians. So we're going to go ahead and read verses 8 through 14 out of Philippians 3. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love that, those verses. So great. So much going on, so much, but we're going to unpack it, don't worry. The main truth I get out of that is the goal of the Christian life is knowing Christ. Our goal is to know Christ. And that sounds easier said than done, right? Sometimes the simple things are the hardest to grasp. You can say, just know Christ. It's like, okay, what does that really mean? Like, I know him, I know things, I read my Bible. But sometimes it's hard. It's easy to know Christ when we're smooth sailing in life, right? When we're coasting in our personal life. But it's harder to grasp knowing Christ when we go through our ups and downs. It's harder to see him and know him when we're in the waves of our stuff. So the question we're going to answer today is, how do we keep our eye on the goal of knowing Christ? And the first thing is we have to rely on Christ and not ourselves. We see in verse 9, it says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So see, Paul is saying, my righteousness will fail, but God's will never fail. My own flesh will always fail, but God will never fail. And Paul knew this firsthand. In the verses before these, Paul explains how he's funny because Paul, if you read, he was righteous in the law of the Jewish people. He was from the right tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew. He followed and obeyed the Jewish law to a T. in Rome, he was the righteous of all righteous. He could lean on himself if he needed to. But when he came to know Christ, he realized he failed every time. And so he knew that, and he realized that, and that's what he wanted to get across to this church. Now, for the last 3 months, I have been on cruise control, just basically coasting through a lot of life, because I went into survival mode, basically. The past 3 years, we helped build this church, so we moved here from Sacramento, for those of you who don't know, and we came here and left all of our family and everything and helped bring this church to you guys, which we love. It's a lot. That takes a lot of strain on your life, and you don't realize that until you're in it. In the past 3 years, so we planted a church, we moved. My husband has had 4 jobs and 4 different salaries. I have had 2 jobs. I tragically lost my cousin to death. We lost my grandma. So thinking mourning without your family, right? That's really hard to do. I had a baby, just brought another 4th child. I thought that'd be a really good idea, just in the mix of it all. And if we're really transparent here, I scored extremely high on a professional stress test with my therapist. Yes, I go to therapy. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's fine. I scored above what they said people should be at. So no wonder I'm in survival mode. I have been trying to rely on myself and my flesh and forgetting to rely on Christ. So in that, I became physically, mentally, and spiritually drained. I had nothing left, absolutely nothing. I was not the same. I think it was my dad who was like, is everything okay? Like, I wasn't the same person. I completely shut down. It brought on a lot of things that I've never experienced before: anxiety, panic attacks, weight loss. A lot of you knew I was in a weight loss challenge, but through this, I lost a lot of unwanted weight. And so it's very hard when people are saying, oh, you look so great. And it's like, yes, thank you. I don't feel so great, you know? And so it's hard. It's been very hard. It's been very hard to just say, okay, I'm okay. But in the darkest times, I realized that I could not rely on myself, and I had to cling to Jesus. That was all I had. That's all I knew what to do. That's all that I knew. I had no idea at the moment in time what I was going to do and how I could fix it, because I'm a fixer. A lot of people will say, you're not really like a girl. I'm like a man, where it's like, I just want to fix you. I want to fix everything. Like, I want to fix things. And I want to fix myself. And so at that moment, I knew I couldn't fix myself. I had to cling to Jesus. So how can you rely on Christ? So I'm going to give you some examples of which I've done that have helped me and hopefully can help you too. But I knew I needed a daily dose of the truth. I needed God's word every day. And that meant opening my Bible, reading plans. If you were to look at my phone right now and went into my YouVersion Bible app, which is a free app if you guys want to, if you don't have it, they have Bible plans for everything. I mean everything. And I literally had at one point 7 Bible plans going on everything. Anxiety, choosing joy. I have a chronological one that I started in May that's supposed to be, you know, starting in January. Well, missed that. So we're starting in May. So my year will be May to May. But just be in the Word, because the Word grounds you. It's your solid foundation. And that's what I did. I also knew that I needed to surround myself with voices of truth, with other faithful Christians and friends and family. And I did that. And, you know, it was interesting because we were talking about better together and your load and your burden. And at sometimes I would go like, gosh, I just don't want to be a burden. I don't want to do that. But I knew that that's what I needed. And they came to my rescue, and they knew at that moment in time. So that's always good. And this is where I'm going to talk about it. Go to a therapist. Find a Christian counselor. Find someone who you can talk to. That's what I did. I needed it. And it's one of the best things I'd ever done. They're unbiased. Even if they don't agree with you, they don't tell you, which is great in my vision. You know, it's always fun. It's like, oh, I can just say anything to you. And it's like, well, okay. But yes, it's helped so much. And it's helped just get it out. And when you feel like if you're a burden, that's what they're paid for. I'm paying this guy to listen to me. So he's going to listen to me. And he's going to take on my load. And it doesn't matter. So it works out great. And worship. If any of you know me, I love music. I cannot sing to save my life. God did not bless me in that area, so that's why I made sure that my mic was muted while we were singing, because it would have been bad. But I love music. That's how I connect to God. So I have songs. Every time I hear a good song, whoop, on my Apple Pay or on my Apple Music. It helps you focus on the gratitude. I've switched my thinking of what is wrong with me, how can I fix this, to how can I find thankfulness in this season? What am I thankful for? What is my gratitude in all of this? Which is hard. That's easier said than done as well. But it really gets rid of the anxiety, the worry, the stress of it all. And also, hugest thing, talk to God. Pray a lot. Even if you don't think you do it well, because I don't think I do it well, he's listening. He wants it. He wants you to unload your stuff and take it off of you. So just talk to him, and he'll be there. So in what area of your life do you need to give up on yourself and start relying on Christ? Can be anything, physically, financially, mentally, spiritually, anything. Where do you need to rely on Christ and give up on your own self? If we're going to keep our eye on the goal of knowing Christ, we must first rely on him, not ourselves. And second, we must press on. In verses 12 and 13, it says, "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Now, I want to tell you this. This is one of my favorite ones. When I was going through this message, I feel like it is very key to press on. I want you to know that when Paul says, "I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it," I want you to know that I'm still in it. I have not conquered it, but every day I'm pushing forward and pressing against it because it's a choice. So just know that. Notice the language he's using, though. Press on, straining, forget what is behind, take hold of. These are all action words, very strong action words. Paul is not saying, well, you know, just let it go, it'll go away. It's like, no, you have to make a daily dose of, I'm going to push. I use a lot of sports analogies, but I grew up in a football family, and what I think of is like these big linemen, which I'm not calling linemen Satan, but it's Satan, and he's pushing, and what are those things called that you know in practice? What are they called? The pushing things? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, they're practicing and they're like trying to like shove through. I don't know what they're called. Yeah. So Satan is there, and I'm like pushing and straining toward the goal. Like, I am pressing forward. I'll figure out what that means, and I'll tell you later, but I don't know what it is right now. But the language shows us that the Christian life, and you might want to write this down because this is good. It's not my words, but I love it. The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. We do not come into the Christian life thinking everything is going to be utopia, because we are going to be met with opposition. And that is the hardest, because let me tell you, I came into the Christian life in opposition, and I wanted to get out of opposition if I wanted, you know. But it's not. It is a battleground, and we need to stand firm. And that's why we need to press on. There is a lot of temptation when we are hit with opposition to give up. For me, everything became overwhelming. I was tapped out, mentally gone. I didn't want to do really, I mean, it was hard for me to even drive out of Red Rock, let alone get up in the morning. Like, it was, everything was hard. Things that never were hard to me because I'm outgoing and I deal with stress sometimes. I get nervous. I don't like to talk in front of people, so I get nervous, but I've never dealt with these other oppositions, these one step ahead, you know, type of things. So it was very foreign to me. Going to work was very overwhelming. Did not want to show up. Sometimes I didn't. I was very honest with my boss. I still have a job, don't worry. But I didn't want to go. I couldn't be a good mom. I have four kids. I have three of them are five, four, and two, right? No, almost four. Five, three, and two. I don't even know. And they're a lot, a lot to handle. And I just couldn't. I couldn't show up. Being a good wife. Ladies, you know it's hard to be a good wife anyways, but when you're met with opposition and you are done, it was even harder. I neglected my family. I questioned my call to ministry. I thought, how could I be called when I am such a mess? I can't even get up to go to work. I can't even get up to talk to certain people. I can't even take care of change my two-year-old's diaper. How can I stand up and preach God's word? Why did he ask me to do that? How am I qualified? So I started to question that. The darkest part was how quickly your mind can shift and think some amazingly awful things. Things that were from Satan, things that I thought, no way. This has never been me. Why is this running through my head? But I realized how quickly you can get there and how easy it is to stay there. Through all this, I have a newfound compassion for the hopeless because I was the hopeless. I've seen firsthand how people can get to those places with your thoughts and how reeling Satan can do. It's crazy. But I know Jesus. I did it and I knew who Jesus is. I know him. Think about those people who don't know him. How much harder it is for them. As a Christian, quitting is not an option. Satan makes it seem great and easy. But as Christians, God calls us not to, and it is not an option. Know that. We can start well, but the prize is given to those who finish. The prize is given to those who finish, so press on. Sometimes the answer is simple. Do it again. Get back up. Don't give up. Do it again, every day. Stop it. It's not about getting back to where I came from. I am not the same person I was 3 months ago. Yes, I'm still funny. I still have, you know, quirkiness, but I'm not the same. I've grown and God has taken me from that Ashley to the new who he wanted to create me to be. We're moving, we're constantly moving, and that's what being a Christian is about, pushing forward and moving, not staying the same. So shake your past off, shake it off, and don't look back, don't give up. Pray until something gives. Put one foot in front of the other and do it again. I really felt like someone needed to hear this today because this is what I needed to hear too. Are you on the edge of giving up? And if you are, don't. Press on. The gospel, the story of Jesus, always has light at the end of the tunnel. It's never too far gone, too stuck, or too broken. You are never too broken. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel. Always. You've been here before, and you've gotten back up and done it again. So push forward and know that there is something at the end. Will you make a decision today to not give up? If we're going to keep our eye on the goal of knowing Christ, we must first rely on him, not ourselves. Second, we must press on and not give up. And third, we don't forget the prize. This is the lighter part of it all. So don't be weary. In verse 14, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If that isn't comforting, I don't know what is. That is our prize. Paul is saying that the prize of finishing is heaven. It's not being wealthy. It's not being happy. It's not chasing after the worldly things that we tend to chase after because we're flesh. We are to know that we are in the world, but as Christians, we are not of this world. We are not supposed to be here. So when we come against hardship in this life, what we're experiencing is homesickness for heaven. I love that. Homesickness for heaven. Because everything here is foreign, we're not supposed to be having ups and downs. We're not supposed to be going through the yuck of life. This is not us. We are not of this world. When we just want a reprieve from this world, we can look to the amazing gift of heaven with our Savior. That has been one of the things that has kept me grounded in that too, knowing the prize, knowing that heaven is waiting for me and that in the end, I will meet my Savior and he can say, well done. Well done. I don't think we talk about heaven enough, to be honest. We talk about the things here, Jesus meeting us here, but I think we tend to forget where we're going and that here is not what we're supposed to focus on. Yes, we are called to preach the gospel and save souls. But we are also called to keep our eyes toward the prize, which is heaven. I'm going to read you some scripture that talks about heaven. In Revelations, it says, no tears, no death, no crying, no more pain, no mourning. Yes, please. John says, there are many rooms that God has prepared for us. What I think of is, I'm not fancy, so I don't really know. We went to a conference and we stayed at the Holiday Inn. We didn't stay at like the Ritz, so I don't really know what a fancy hotel is. But I just think of like lavish rooms, all the rooms with all the things that you want. So many rooms. And Paul says we cannot even imagine all that God has prepared for us there. You can't even imagine. That's why we can't picture it, but it's so good. So good. Don't you want to go there? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that's on the top of my bucket list if I had one. I don't really have a bucket list. Some things, I have more of like appliances, I don't know, appliance list. But my on the top of my bucket list is heaven. I could go to Hawaii. I could go to Alaska. Not really. But heaven is where I want to end and check it off. That is my bucket list. Have you forgotten where we are going? Have you taken your eye off the prize? Today, let's just praise God for what he has for those of us that finish knowing Jesus. Praise him because you're sitting here, you know him, and even if you don't know him well, you have the tools to know him. Know that. Be confident in that so that you can press on and rely on him and keep your eye on the prize, which is heaven, the final resting place. I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward. I hope my story has encouraged some of you today. It's very hard to be that transparent, especially when you people ask you how you're doing and you just say, I'm good, I'm okay. But I knew that people needed to know this. Maybe you've been relying on yourself or been tempted to give up or have been focusing on the wrong prize. I hope today you resolve to rely on Christ, to press on and remember the prize Jesus has for you. I'm actually gonna make myself available, and actually my husband is gonna be available on the sides. If any of you need prayer for any of this, feel free. It is not anything to be ashamed of. It's good, it's healing. And it's good for me, to be honest, to pray for somebody else. So don't be shy. So we're gonna go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I praise you for the things that you are doing in our lives, Lord. I lift up the people in this room. I pray that they rely on you in times of need and in everyday life, Lord. I pray that they press on in the hard times, in their ups and downs, when they feel like they cannot push anymore, when their legs feel like cement, Lord. Break through and push on. Lord, and I pray for everyone in this room to realize the prize you have for us. Praise you and thank you for our final resting place, heaven, Lord, where there is no more pain, no more suffering. We are homesick for you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I lift this up in your name.